Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ring my bell, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Newcastle host the Gunners and Fulham welcome Man U. It's Friday, 3rd of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
Welcome, lovely people. Here we are at the Football Ramble. It's Friday. Oh, Luke Moore!
How you doing?
Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too. Where's the keys?
The keys are in the pocket.
The keys, yes.
Gentlemen.
Keys are happening.
I know.
It's the weekend. We're going to toss the pillow about with Chugsy.
Yeah! I'll tell you something now. I know people outside of London hate people mentioning the London Underground, but I'm going to do it.
Right.
On the way to work.
What did you see? What did you smell? What did you taste?
It was what I heard, Peter.
Right.
Jason Tindall.
It was.
On the Bluetooth.
The man who's driving the train.
Was he in with the driver?
I heard him on Friday afternoon on my way home.
Yeah.
And I heard him this morning.
Yeah.
With a very strong Jamaican accent, was saying every stop, hello, lovely people. Come on and have a lovely weekend. Good to see you.
Nice.
It's Friday.
Nice.
Keep the Friday vibes, everybody. You know it's right.
He listens
and
to
would
ramble.
Finish with, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good.
That's what you needed.
Perfect.
And that's kind of the role you perform here, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Yeah, train driver.
Yep.
Make sure we get to the right station.
A little bit too exuberant.
Remind people of the weekend. Yeah, and after a while it gets tedious.
Yeah.
Very keen on patois as well, aren't you?
Very keen. Two digs from Donaldson, didn't
yeah. But you deserve it because you're late today.
I was late
you
today.
It's all right, it's fine, you got a ticket.
Too exuberant though, that's a shame.
Yeah, fair
too
enough.
Too exuberant,
You've
that's all right,
early.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah. Sorry, man.
Okay, well let's bring everybody back down to earth with Newcastle United versus Arsenal on Saturday at tea time, Peter. How many goals are Arsenal going to score?
I think this is going to be a really fun match.
No.
Jason Tindall, it was a big Tindall event last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did Tindall get right up in Mikel Arteta's face?
Oh, was that this one, right?
He shook his hand first, and then there was...
Oh, that's what it was,
It was feisty. It was a feisty
it's
one,
It's basically the Spider-Man meme of two people pointing at each other, telling them to get back in the technical area.
Yeah. Arteta should swipe left.
Nice.
Thank you.
It kind of works.
You know what I mean.
Tindall, the idea of a technical area of Tindall, first of all, I think he thinks it should be called a Tindall area.
Mm.
And a Tindall area.
Yeah.
There should be a Tindall app, let's be honest.
And it's more of a concept to him, isn't it?
Yeah, I would
say yeah. It's like, am I in the headspace or am I in the actual square?
My technical area is really... the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
I think the technical area now for Tindall is in the heads of everyone else.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Like, I think he's already
rent-free.
He's kind of already done his bit, hasn't he? Because yeah, obviously with the ruling now, he's not up there anymore.
But you can see him.
Yeah. And I think people get, I think Newcastle fans enjoy the fact that other people get riled by him.
Yes.
Even though now
definitely.
He's actually more withdrawn.
I would say that I would very much enjoy if they did a Tupac style hologram.
That'd be great.
He's not actually in the technical area, but we have got some kind of holographic projector on it.
I'd like it if he had what he had done, and all the time he's been allowed to be up out and about doing stuff, if he had planted a load of Jason Tindall seeds in every other technical area. And throughout the season, they've just grown up to new Tindalls.
New Tindalls, New Tindalls in your area.
What do we think about the technical area generally?
Tindalls in your area.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could. Some technical areas look really big and some of them look quite small.
I wonder if
they scale up
size.
And scale down, yeah.
I think it's quite an odd concept to say to a manager, like, this is the box you're only allowed in.
They should just give you a nice big car. Just give it, put park two Range Rovers and you're allowed anywhere in the Range Rover. Front, back, boot.
Any car that pays the most amount to be the sponsor.
Yes.
That would only
yes.
work at the London Stadium.
Why?
Because it's the only room you've got. You can't.
The only one that would have room for a Range Rover.
Well, the football clubs are just going to have to adjust. It's a sponsor. It's important. It's important revenue. No,
that is true. Money.
Why wouldn't you expect Range Rover?
Money does yell, doesn't it, after all?
And when they're making want to make a sub, they have to hit the horn. Toot, toot. And the referee goes, substitute.
Imagine they just went mad and drove around.
Come out of the car.
Yeah.
Get one of those, that coffin one at Gateshead, or wherever it was.
Yes, yeah, well, I mean,
the coffin one.
The coffin one, the hearse. You know, the coffin one.
Oh, it's a coffin car.
They were ahead of their time there, weren't they?
Yeah.
And yet so backwards in other ways. Yeah. But I'm intrigued why you think it's odd that the manager just has a box to walk around in.
I don't think it's... I understand for the purposes of just controlling them, because they can get out of hand.
That's the reason.
But I think they should have... They should be able to walk a bit further than where they're kind of penned into.
But why? Why would that?
Just because of the nature of the game. It relies a lot on off-field instruction sometimes.
So they should be able to have been the referee's assistant's ear.
Run up and down behind the linesman.
That would stop them from being the referee's ear because they're actually being held right next to the fourth official.
Performs a different role, of course.
Well, no, because you can have it so that they don't do that.
Okay. I'm still for the technical area.
I just don't think that. Like Arteta is always outside his technical area. Mm. I don't think he's at it by much. He's not straying onto.
Lines on the floor and we have one of those collars, those prickly collars that dogs use?
Good shout.
Yeah. I thought you were talking Running Man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's a bit much.
Yeah. Oh, bungee cords.
Bungee cords, that would be a bit of fun.
Sold it.
The stronger the manager you get, the further...
Exactly, that's why you'd want big, strong managers.
Big legs.
Messi's bodyguard. You'd be able to get on the pitch.
The game starts, referee blows the whistle to start the game, Big Ange just rips it out.
Swinging it around his head.
Yeah, like the T-Rex at the start of Jurassic Park.
Just like that. Arsenal, of course, were beaten by West Ham in the Cup this week. Newcastle hammered Manchester United with Matt Ritchie, Paul Dummett and Emil Kraft in the squad, or in the side rather, Peter, should I say.
Nice to see him. I saw Emil Kraft at the final last season with, I think Martin Dubravka was with him, and it was just
who
really nice to see. He of the gold medal. It was just really nice to see Emil Kraft like doing something out and about.
Yeah. Well, so Peter, on form, if we're just going on their previous match, this should be a walkover.
Eddie Howe's made the conscious decision to play Emil Kraft at Old Trafford in the Cup game.
His take.
And Pete's gone. Yeah. It was just nice to see him outside.
Emil Kraft probably
said to Eddie Howe, I'm a bit worried, I haven't played for ages. You'll be absolutely fucking fine.
You'll be all right. Yeah.
No worries.
Did you see though, he in that game he took a knock and he was like, and you could tell he was a bit like, fucking hell, this is hard.
They don't do this in training, do they?
Yeah. It was absolutely remarkable to go back to that game. I know you guys covered it a bit on Ramble Reacts, but to have a brief say on it. I thought the body language and attitude of Man United players was absolutely remarkable.
Yeah.
I have to say, it was very, very disrespectful to everyone watching. And I don't even support Manchester United.
Yeah, we are going to talk about Manchester United in the second half.
I support what they do.
You'll get to
do a bit more then.
Yeah,
we'll do a bit more then. That's a little teaser trailer for you.
Teaser.
Yeah.
But Newcastle United, though, who would you say were the favourites for this one, Vish, in your opinion? Forget what everybody else is saying.
Well, I'd say it's Arsenal, but I would say if you look at the League Cup game in midweek, it actually highlights how far Newcastle have come in that they made all these changes and yet everybody came into the team, and perhaps also because it was set against what Manchester United were doing, which was a disgrace, but it showed that every player comes in with a clear idea of what they have to do. They get an injury early on, someone else comes in, they rearrange and they still know what they have to do. Mm-hmm. Everyone plays a very specific role in that starting 11. And so, you know, you're worried a little bit about squad depth before, you know, when you're talking about the Champions League, I suppose, specifically, but and the injuries that they've had. But someone like Willock coming back and just the general vibe about the place, and also the fact that it's in St. James's Park. One of the things that I've really admired slash feared about Newcastle is A, their swagger, and B, they actually bully teams.
Yeah,
there's a bit of like high school bully about them. They bump everyone at home. They are not afraid to just run and run and run.
Jock Linton putting people in bins.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Slamming their heads into
taking
lockers.
Taking people's lunch money. Yeah. And for that reason, I think it'd be a real test of where Arsenal are right now. And we know Arsenal are a strong, confident side now, but this is a little tester on the way to that, isn't it? To the way, wherever they're going to get at the end of the season, these are the type of games where they can come out and think, right, we can make it there, or B, we need to change a few things. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a brilliant game, as Pete suggested.
I'd love to see Newcastle really slow the game down from the first whistle. Uh-huh. Just really slow it down. Just really test Arsenal's patience.
Yep.
Just break everything up as much as they can. And then when they've got Arsenal kind of by the googlies, really show they can play. That's how they'll beat them.
Was it Erik ten Hag who was frustrated with Newcastle's time wasting?
He's frustrated a lot.
I
think he should possibly be looking a little closer to home.
Yeah. I don't think they're time wasting. They're just wasting time.
Yeah. I think Newcastle were wasting a lot of time on throw-ins, which, I mean, he could complain about, but the reason they were wasting time on throw-ins or had throw-ins in the first place was because United kept passing the ball out.
I think this was to do with last season, but I forget who it was. But there's been some accusations about Newcastle.
Oh yeah, I mean, but Newcastle last season were kings of time wasting, and they've not continued it quite so much because they've kind of got some ball playing footballers this season.
Yeah.
But I think they're not just shithouses in the house shitting.
Yeah, was that their defence? You lot of time wasting, but we're the kings of.
Yeah,
time wasting.
Yeah.
We are doing well, to be fair.
We have signposted it. Yeah. Well, as we touched on after the match when we did Ramble React, the good news for Newcastle United is that Saudi Arabia are shooing for the World Cup 2034 hosting duties. A suspicious detail has emerged.
Is it suspicious?
Is that a word you want to use?
Do the detail and let the listeners decide whether it's suspicious or not.
Okay.
Don't lead them.
Perhaps a relevant detail.
Could
has
be a
emerged.
Coincidence.
Do you know what? Even that, I'm trying to sway them, aren't I? A detail has emerged.
Yeah.
There's a detail.
Presented
detail.
Without comment.
Yeah, exactly. When FIFA announced on the 4th of October that the bidding process was beginning 3 years earlier than previously planned, 3 years earlier, right? There you are. Saudi Arabia submitted its comprehensive plan a whole 65 minutes after the announcement was made.
Probably cobbled it together.
Yeah.
You know what do we have here? What do we have lying around? Just... we'll just make a. We'll get some pencils. We'll make a little stadium.
Can't be that hard hosting a World Cup, can it?
No.
Should be able to knock that up in just an hour.
You know what?
To
be fair. The annoying thing is, Luke, is that they are swats. You know, they've done their revision. They've done their coursework early. I don't like it.
It's
an oven-ready World Cup deal. Though only 4 of the 14 or whatever is required stadiums exist.
It doesn't take that long just to package up $1 billion in US cash, does it? And send it. That's the bit, isn't it?
You've got to let the listeners
decide. Empty your pockets. A billion, brilliant.
Yeah. I've got to the point now where I don't actually care about libel from people. Yeah. Because it's just so obvious.
Yeah. Clearly they don't
care. Transparency of a court case.
As we learned from... as we have learned that there are one or two, or one in particular, Premier League clubs that in the past were particularly concerned and would get in touch with journalists about certain things, whereas the Saudis are not of that ilk.
But he doesn't own the club anymore, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, so we can slag him off. Yeah. Anyway, I think you get the detail. What a load of bollocks. Better news, though. This is justice has been done in the City of London, because Arsenal, the former forward Ian Wright, was awarded the freedom of the City of London this week for his services to sport and London in general.
The one thing about Ian Wright that is incredible is a testament to his charisma and his personality, and I think at least a few people in this room have been the same presence as him, and he's always been very, very lovely, is that he is fucking everywhere and no one minds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real test for, because a lot of people, like, I think Rylan can. Rylan's similar, but I think people.
I never thought we'd mention him today.
Well, just when he first came on the scene, I was like, who is this weird Kenny Everett man who just doesn't seem to have any discernible skills? But he's everywhere and nobody minds.
Not on Marcus's watch. He loves Kenny Everett.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Kenny Everett has skills, but he just looks like Kenny Everett.
Did you see
the thing?
You know, Rylan is best friends with Tom Skinner from The Apprentice.
Is he? Yeah, right.
The Bosch. Tom Skinner.
He's bought a jet ski this week.
Were they both on The Apprentice?
No, Rylan was on X Factor, I think.
Right, okay.
But Tom Skinner, the funny thing, just very, very quickly, Rylan told this story on Twitter where Tom Skinner called up Rylan and said, do you mind coming to this warehouse? I'm having a mattress sale. And Rylan was like, oh, yeah, I'll come down, no worries. And then when he got there, Tom Skinner put a load of stuff up saying special guest, like the guest of honour. Ryan's giving him a meet and greet. He's doing signings. He's doing all sorts. And Ryan was like, "You just asked me to come down."
But he got involved though.
He did. Yeah. He did.
I feel we've got away from Ian Wright's achievement though.
Well, Ian Wright is everywhere, and everyone likes it still.
Yeah. Has he ever sold a mattress? He's done Chicken Tonight. He's done, I think, a bank. And a few other things.
Chicken Tonight, I forgot
about that. Chicken Tonight. He wore a cravat and was fancy.
And he had Friday Nights All Right, his little chat show.
That's
didn't he?
He used to do a chat show, yeah. He's a marvellous
Bring
man.
It back.
As I've said, and Pete will agree with me here, they say, don't meet your heroes. Well, Ian Wright is all of our hero, let's be honest. Meet him. If
meet
you
him.
Get the chance, meet
him repeatedly.
He is the guy. He is absolutely genuine. He is as you would expect, and he loves it, but in the best possible way. You know when Tom Hanks goes on a talk show?
Yeah.
And he takes over, that sounds a bit sort of arrogant. He becomes the main centre of attention just quite naturally. Mm-hmm. And he loves it, and everyone loves it, but it's in a very non-arrogant way. Right. That's like Ian Wright. I can't talk hard
about that. I don't like comparing Ian Wright to Tom Cruise, but...
Tom Hanks.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Wrong Tom.
I know you always want to crowbar Tom Cruise into the equation, Vish, but this is not
Sorry,
the time.
Sorry, I just heard Tom Cruise.
as you always do.
Yeah. I made this point a while ago, but I'd like
is
to...
Is this about Tom Cruise still?
No, this is about Ian Wright.
Okay.
Stop talking about Tom Cruise.
Did you think Ian Wright was good in Top Gun or not?
Yeah.
I just want to hear what he has to say about his church, yeah?
Yeah.
I've made this point before, but I would like to go back in time and beat up teenage me for hating Ian Wright.
Yeah, that's poor.
For being...
On the field, I think he was... I think a lot of people wouldn't have liked Ian Wright. On the field, would that be fair?
So I made this point to someone who knows him. I was like, he seems lovely. Want to beat my younger self up. And he was like, to be honest, I think he'd have hated it if you as a United fan liked
him. Okay, yes, exactly.
So I know it's a bit naff when you tell someone else's story, but I was in the room when old Wrighty and Michael Dewberry were there once. And
Michael Dewberry, you did not hear from the Dubes on the Football Ramblers.
You don't.
All he has now is Dion Dublin hitting it.
Ow!
He said that when he was a young footballer, like a lot of young footballers, especially black young footballers, Ian Wright was an idol for him.
Yeah,
of course, he kicked down a lot of doors, quite literally sometimes. And when Peter Schmeichel was the doorman, and Dewberry said that he came, he was playing for, would it be Chelsea, I suppose, and they were playing Arsenal. And I think he was marking him on a corner and he was stood next to him and he just was just like looking at him for just a moment, going, oh, there's Ian Wright. And he said, Ian Wright just turned to him and went, fuck you looking at you. Fuck you. And he's like, all right, yeah, I'm playing a game of football here.
Nice. Very nice.
Well, on the subject of the Carabao Cup that we spoke about midweek on Ramble React and beyond, we asked our followers on Twitter, I'm not getting involved, Marcus.
It's
I'm not
X.
getting involved, not
it's
getting involved.
X. I'm not if asking you to do anything. It's the Musketeer.
Don't worry, AI is going to mean that we're not going to have jobs, apparently.
Can AI remove Elon Musk?
I wish it bloody would. We asked our followers if they had ever had a pet named after a football, after Phil Foden called his dog Carabao. I've got a dog named after Sammy Amiobi. From Hawaii Man Chris, my cat was briefly called Beardsley until we found out that he was a sheep.
typical Peter Beardsley, isn't it?
That'll upset him.
Yeah.
From Stu. From Stu, I had a guinea pig in the late night. He's called Kevin
Addy.
After Kevin Muscat and Addy Akinbaye. That makes sense. My favourite Wolves players at the time, I couldn't choose between the two. That's
Kevin
lovely
Addy.
Stuff.
Wow.
A double barrel, just a double name, I guess. Yeah. From Angus, I used to have a cat called Baggio.
That's a lovely name for a cat.
Because cats do Roberto Baggio things. They glide. They're smooth.
Yeah.
They devour mice.
They get a point if they hit the post.
And they have ponytails.
Yeah.
And my next door neighbour used to have a cat called Owen after Michael Owen.
Nice.
Which was a bit naff then.
That's shit.
And it's a bit
it's getting
now.
Naffer.
Hang on, you just said nice, Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stand by your conviction of the man.
Nice it. That's half of my catchphrase, mate.
He just wants to nice it. He's like Joe Pesci in the Moonwalker movie. Just wants everyone to be cool.
Just want everyone to be cool.
Yeah, for not those reasons, though. Well, we appreciate you getting involved there on X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm. Everton versus Brighton is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Everton, a resurgent Everton, might I add, looking to continue their good form after they beat Burnley 3-0. On Wednesday, Ashley Young, that faithful old dog, scored the third. This is a clash of two informed strikers, Dominic Calvert-Lewin versus the young Evan Ferguson.
I love the idea that Everton have got to the stage where they're actually so bad that they can be described as resurgent despite losing three of their last six leagues. The standard is now so low because they won their
last.
They've
done a little bit better, though, of late.
They have. They've lowered their standards
better
themselves.
As well. They've looked better than what they've looked at the start of the season, surely.
It was a really good win at West Ham, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
West Ham were very, very poor. And who they beat before that? Bournemouth, and then they beat Brentford away, didn't they? Brentford away is a good result.
Very good result.
For sure, yeah. So fair enough, actually. I've said what I've said.
Apologise to them.
I'm very, very sorry to Sean Dyche.
They lost to Luton at home.
Exactly.
Ancient history, bruv. Yeah. they also beat Brighton. They hammered Brighton away from home, was it last May, towards the end of last season?
Go back as far as you want.
Which will have no bearing.
They won
course.
The fucking FA Cup in 95.
I think they did. Yeah. I think they did. Well, and in the 80s.
Polly right out lashing in volleys left, right, and centre.
Yeah. And of course, they've never been relegated. So I don't know why Brighton are going to bother turning up, frankly.
Give them the 3 points. Save your time.
Yeah. Well, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, of course, scored last weekend with his 50th Premier League goal, making him the fourth Everton player to reach that milestone.
Interesting.
Well done him. But he has been crucial, of course, in this resurgence that we speak of, Vish.
Yeah, do you think it's an over reliance? Given that we know if you average out the number of games he is available for in a season, it feels like Everton are using them up early.
Yeah, he's available for more games for Everton than Mitrovic is for Fulham, though. So I'm going to give them a pass.
Do you want to know who the other three players for Everton who scored more than 50 Premier League goals? Can you guess them?
No.
Can you do a guess? Quick guess.
No, I would say that. Do you know what I wanted to say? Romelu Lukaku.
He's right. He's the top.
Is he really?
68.
There you are, you see.
Yeah.
Lord alive.
I would...
Yakubu?
It's a great guess, but he's only got 25.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One of Pete's favourite ever players.
Is that Danny Lamagachi?
Tim Cahill,
of course. Yeah.
And the other one was Big Dunk, of course.
Big Dunk, yeah. Do you know what? I was going to say Paul Ryder, and I thought, no, he wasn't around long enough. In the Premier League, I should say.
Isn't that weird that, like... On the radio this morning, they were saying that Aston Villa's, I think... Yeah, most prolific Premier League striker, Gabby Van La Horn. I was like, that's a diss on Villa, isn't it? Really?
Well, he was around for a while.
Right.
You'd think it was maybe Dwight York, but I see what you mean.
He did about three Premier League goals a season for about 40 seasons.
Yeah. Well, I remember when he was on the radio once and he said that I think his top scoring season maybe was 15, and Ali McCall just went, 15 a season? I call that August.
Big Ali, you couldn't question his goal record. Is it fair to say Big Gabby was probably the Aston Villa's Shola Ameobi?
I could see
similar,
that.
Kind of.
I think he started more than Ameobi, you would say.
Yeah. But Ameobi started a lot of matches.
Did he?
Yeah. When Shearer was injured, he was just always in
one of them.
There you go. When Shearer was injured,
the place.
Yeah, but they had that. Yeah.
Gabby Bundlehall was the first Todd Bowley, really, because he basically amortised all his career goals, but over a long stretch of season.
Yeah.
I'm amortising my goals.
Yeah.
He amortises his fucking good points on the radio as well.
He does.
My goodness me.
He did wish me a happy birthday once because Pete paid him to.
Did I do that?
50 cameo in it.
I've blown a lot of money on cameo.
Mainly on me.
Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, you did. Sean Paul for Jules.
Sean
as well.
Paul for Jules.
Sven for me. Yeah. And Gabby Ekbottenhall.
Yeah. Who then referenced Sven.
Yeah, that was basically it. That was the stepping stone. You unlock Sven on cameo if you do that. You've got to get a former player of his to say his name.
Is Sven the end of level boss on cameo?
And then he pops up. A Guardian article revealed this week that M. Ferguson made his senior debut at Bohemians when he was aged 14 against Frank Lampard's Chelsea.
Probably what spurred him on. Yeah.
You'll be all right, son.
Well, he's a piece of piss.
He's a little shit.
Well, his goal against Fulham last weekend meant that he became the first teenager to score 10 plus Premier League goals in a single calendar year since Wayne Rooney did in 2005.
Good signs.
It's the range of his goals as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he's
they're
ranging.
They're not just poachy. They're like, you know, controlling the ball in from outside the box.
He's very composed. I mean, that one against Fulham showed you that. Yeah. But he looks like he's got a lot of tools in his toolbox.
If you want to knock him in these days, you do have to be very versatile. You can't just be...
Yeah, yeah. You've got,
but I suppose if you consider the way Brighton play at their best, you get chances, don't you?
Yes.
If you're just hitting them in between the penalty spot and the 6-yard box, nothing necessarily wrong with that. But you could subsist on that and be noticed as a good player. But as you say, he does a little bit more.
The only thing I can kind of, I think he's a brilliant forward, particularly for his age. He's obviously been a man grown for some time, which is massively important in top level sport, of course. The only criticism I would possibly level, and I'd do it more of a question rather than a kind of statement, because I'm not entirely sure myself, is he that quick? Is he actually that quick? Or is he like a Harry Kane type quick, where he's like,
yeah,
I
think Kane is
past a player.
I think Kane is, look, people will say he's never looked at, but from what I've seen of him, I think that's a... that type of striker.
People find it hard to. I've noticed that people find it hard to stop him, which isn't necessarily to say that he's burning past people, but I think he protects the ball quite well.
I wouldn't worry about any perceived lack of pace, because I don't think he lacks pace. He's not lightning quick, but
well, he's also ahead of where Kane was. I mean, you can say what you like about whether he's as good as Kane or not. Obviously, he isn't at this point, but at the age he is, he's ahead of where Kane was.
And he's what a club to be at as well for nurturing young talent, which is quite clear. But also the style of football and so on and so forth. And he'll play.
Yeah,
I think that's the crucial thing. You know, as I say, the last thing I think the neutral want, certainly Brighton fans want, is for a bigger club to come in the summer and stick him in there. But that is how football works.
It's a bit of more of a curious phenomenon than that, though, because if you see a player who stands out like that at a club that's perhaps not perceived to be one of the bigger clubs, that club's normally struggling and they're a jewel in the crown, and it becomes inevitable. Actually, Brighton aren't traditionally a very big club, but they are doing very well.
Right.
So it's much more likely, I'm not saying it's totally likely, but it's much more likely he would stay there longer, because he's going to say, well, I'm going to play in Europe, I'm going to win games, I'm going to get chances, as Fish says, and that makes, that. I think that moves the dial a little bit.
Which big club really, really need a striker and could do it? Chelsea.
Yeah. Exactly.
Expect a bid in January. Everybody.
Get my players in.
110 million, 14-year contract.
Yeah, but it is kind of like succession stuff, isn't it? It's just like, let's make an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah.
Because there is a number.
Yeah.
How do we get in touch with it? It was the last number we called.
What did Logan Roy say? Congratulations on saying the largest number.
Dear. Before we move on from this, did you see that former Everton legend Peter Reid will soon be, we assume, going for a drink with disgraced bastard Dominic Cummings?
Well, first of all, Peter Reid is still an Everton legend.
A former Everton player, but very much an Everton legend, I should say.
Yeah. I don't think Dominic Cummings is the legend of much other than his own lunch hour, is he?
No. Is he allowed a lunch hour these days? But we know this because Peter Reid said to him on X, hard man, let's have a bevy. I haven't even got to it yet.
I'll fill you in.
London or Durham, not a problem for me. Is Durham a dig? It must be a dig.
Well, yeah, for the...
Barnard Castle.
Of course it is, yeah. I love it how he... Hard man. And then Cummings, happy to. Send a DM. Drink when you're in London next? No question mark. In London Monday. Wonderful. Cummings, DM me your mobile. So they obviously took it to the old direct messages where we can't see.
And someone's already put up a poster, mocked up a boxing poster, Blues against Blood Cancer present the knockdown for lockdown. Peter Apollo Reid versus Dominic. I was just testing my eyes coming. I mean, you were saying it, Pete, I think earlier. It's like that would be Peter Reid versus Dominic Cummings in a celebrity boxing match. Be better than half a celebrity boxing matches you see these days.
All of the
massively. And probably, certainly on Reid's side, it wouldn't be a bit of a fix, I would say, as well. I would say that is it not like that? Is Cummings now, because he's the enemy of the government, my enemy's enemy is my friend sort of thing? I'm worried that they might be the great romance of 2023. No,
it's
like
a strange start, hard man.
Yeah.
I think Peter Reid wants some blood.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, because that's why he's put Durham in there as a dig.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think that Dominic Cummings, who is essentially really an unemployable weirdo operating on the fringes, who's been thrust into the mainstream as a lot of problematic political figures have been.
Stop staring at me.
You haven't been thrust into the mainstream, mate.
Similar accent. And very still outside.
And what's happened is I don't think Dominic Cummings really knows much about who Peter Reid is. He's probably looked him up and saw he was a footballer, saw he's a legend, looks at him as quite a friendly face.
Yep.
Probably saw him on Twitter sitting in his tyre.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Reid's going to batter him.
No, I just think Reed is too, he's too fun loving to get stuck in.
Fun loving
Reed is really left wing.
I know he is.
Yeah,
he's really tough.
Yeah, but
well.
I think he'll start. He'll have Cummins crying on his shoulder at the end. Going, what have I done? Look, come on, son. Just don't.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, and they'll take a selfie together and they'll post
yeah.
it.
And Peter like, Reed
nice,
will go,
nice we'll to have a proper discussion.
Yeah,
nice to have a conversation in the marketplace of ideas.
And Reed will say he apologised. I heard him. Go on, do it again for the camera. And that's what it'll be.
And bang, Dominic Calmes has signed a 3-year deal at Sunderland.
Sunderland, eh?
It's all that. It's all that kind of that specific sphere of politics in terms of people who've actually moved out of main politics, quote unquote, in the last 3 years is very footbally because you can see them do little things. Like you'll go and meet him, and people are like, oh, you know what? He's all right actually. In the way that like your disgraced striker comes back and score goals. Similarly, Rory Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, people love his podcast. It's a very good podcast. Look at his voting records.
Yeah. Completely agree.
I will look at them.
Good.
Maybe in the break. But before we go for that break, we've just been talking about Brighton, of course, on the subject of them. Head over to On the Continent and check out today's episode of Ask OTC, where there is some great insight from David Cartledge about Roberto De Zerbi's former assistant, Francesco Farioli, who is doing some exciting things at Nice. Nice it, Peter. Yeah. He's only 34, but David explains why a Premier League team will be snapping him up in no time. So search On the Continent to find that episode. Right, let's have a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you excited to get started? Don't push me. You're on television. No. Doesn't look good. Not good,
man. Handled
by security, Eric. Man United, a big club.
What about
the
football
round,
everybody?
Not a good
Cottrell.
Look, Eric.
Gary Cottrell there.
Not a good look, Eric. That was back when Eric Ten Hag was like the enforcer that Manchester United needed.
Yeah. At one point, Gary Cottrell in there, who is just the worst. At one point, he says,
just been talking about Cummings.
He said, it doesn't look good being manhandled by security, Eric. Man United are a big club. It's like a weird thing to say.
Does he say that if he's like chucked out of a club? Doesn't look good. No, it doesn't look good for you.
No.
Yeah.
You're the one being chucked out.
We are a big club. That's why we haven't got to worry about little scroats like you.
Manchester United head to West London on Saturday at 12:30.
Get me off the leash now.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about Man United.
Well, Erik ten Hag was defiant after the defeat on Wednesday, saying, "I'm confident I can do it."
Let me do it!
That was just before Gary Cotter was taken away again. Yeah. I can have him! At this moment, we are in a bad place, and I take responsibility for it, but I'm a fighter. I see it as a challenge. Incidentally, sporting manager Ruben Amorim is being touted as a possible successor to big Erik ten Hag.
That'll sort it.
Mm. The rumours are circulating. Someone even mentions Zinedine Zidane.
Why would he want it?
Exactly, yeah. Why would he want the hassle of that? But the fact of the matter is, Vish, you are hearing one or two names now. Now, it's probably just paper talk, but it shows you where Erik ten Hag is. I think a couple of weeks ago, people said, well, what would be this point of sacking the coach? It'd be ridiculous. That's not going to prove anything. Well, people are saying that the players are unhappy with how he's going about things. The Jadon Sancho thing has actually been a bit of a sticking point, reportedly, with some of the players. Do you think old Erik will be off soon?
Probably. I feel like, so November, the Newcastle game in particular was the start of quite a big month in terms of they got, you know, Copenhagen, FC Copenhagen midweek next week. They got Galatasaray away later on. There were a lot, basically United could be out of the Champions League by
and
the
that
end
would be
of November.
Big.
That would be huge. League-wise, it's a little easier, but what does that mean anymore? I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised. Obviously, there's been a lot of injuries to deal with, but as you said, the fact that you're hearing names... You're hearing names because someone within the club, as happens elsewhere, is basically floating, positing the... When the question is posed to them is, you know, are you going to give them time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are you looking at other managers? Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just generally the way it goes.
Yeah.
I don't really see a way that it's going to change anytime soon. I think the sticking point about the players is, while probably correct, is also a bit naff, really. Like... calling out a guy, maybe he shouldn't have done it publicly, but he was asked about it and he was honest about it. Someone who isn't training well, someone who hasn't performed well, is not going to be in the match day squad for the Arsenal game. That kind of makes sense. That should be just be the standard. Apparently it's not. Yeah. I think if you look at the way the players have gone about it, it's not been particularly good. And it doesn't help when your best players, your streakiest players, and they happen to be in a dip right now in Fernandes and Rashford. But I would also say, like, on the field, there's no real discernible plan. You don't really get a sense that they built on... There was probably a two-month period at the start of the year, February going into April, when it looked like something was forming. Obviously, they beat Barcelona. They get to the League Cup final. They win that. And it was just built on sand. It kind of makes me question what happened over the summer as well. And to be honest, I think there's generally needs to be a bit of recalibration about how people talk about Manchester United, not just... people who support Manchester United, because you can talk about the owners all you want, but ultimately, manager comes in, nothing really moves forward. There's an idea that it should move forward because it's because of the size of the club. Doesn't really work like that. You need to have people pulling together in quite a meaningful way, and that hasn't happened for a while. And because of that, United are just a couple of rungs down from where they were before. You can't just suddenly click your fingers and get back up there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what happens with Spurs. Spurs are going to have a brilliant season. Spurs are going to be nowhere near the top two, let's say, by the end of it. That's my opinion. But they are building something that is sustainable going forward.
But it shows you what a managerial appointment can do.
Yeah, exactly.
But Spurs have still got the same. I know. I'm not trying to say leave off the owners at Manchester United. No, very much still going.
But it's almost like a separate issue, really, in terms of like
you
getting
can still perform well with undesirable owners.
Yeah.
But I understand that is still a big issue at the club. So I don't want to trivialise that.
Sure, but you can still play well with a leaky roof. Yeah,
you can. You absolutely can. But I mean, Manchester United. You know, I mean, to compare them to Spurs, I mean, 11 points off Spurs after 10 games. You know, Manchester United. You say Spurs are not going to finish in the top two.
But just before, because that's going to be taken out of context, especially just the way you're framing it there. What I'm saying is...
I'm trying to move it on. From...
Sure, but what I'm saying is it takes time to get there, and United have just like never even got near the step that Angie has in the first 3 months
of course
taking over Spurs.
And so with Manchester United, what I'm saying is you were saying Arsenal, the Spurs won't finish in the top two. Fair enough. Manchester United, at the moment, are not going to finish in the top four. They could go out of the Champions League in the next month or whatever it would be, because it would be before Christmas. It's all ifs and buts at the moment, but that I would say maybe not going out of the Champions League, perhaps. But I don't think many people would back them to finish in the top four. Compare it, as I say, to last season, as we have done so many times in other people's. I mean, forget they got to an FA Cup final when only beaten by the best side in European football, without a doubt. So, Luke Moore, at the moment with Manchester United, it's obviously very, very poor. It's very, very troubling if you're a Manchester United supporter. What on earth do they do? Can they do anything in the short term?
What, the fans? They can do fuck all.
Well,
they can do nothing.
Okay, but yeah, at the club, you know.
Pay for your ticket, get rained on, go on.
What I find remarkable, even if there's a roof, you still get rained on. What I find remarkable about it is the kind of the beast that is Manchester United.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can talk about a team who've won three of their last five games and still, it still feels like a massive crisis. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the direction
Foul
of travel.
Out.
The direction of travel for United is one where now it looks like the manner of their two defeats they've just suffered, now everything looks like a tough game. Mm. You know, if you make it, you know, and you've, you know, contextualise it around them going to Craven Cottage this weekend, I mean, it's a massive opportunity for Fulham. Mm. And any team worth their salt in this kind of opportunity to play a big scalp, they smell blood and they go after it. And if they can do that, United have got Copenhagen away in the Champions League, stakes are high, as you've already said, and they play Luton at home. I mean, it's impossible, for me at least, mm-hmm. if they limp into the game against Luton and don't win at home to Luton,
he can't
stand the job.
Well, he can't. I mean, on that chapter of the Champions League, got to go away to Galatasaray.
Yeah,
and they'll be up for that. And they've got
that's
to play
after
Bayern,
that, yeah.
Yeah, and they got to play Bayern Munich as well. So
is it also kind of the Copenhagen game? Copenhagen's record at home is very good.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll fancy it massively. And I think you're going back to some of the things that Vish said. Yeah, and he didn't say it specifically today, but he has said it before. Is the idea of the environment the players are in. Mm-hmm. What environment? And so when you talk about, you know, the ownership, and you talk about, as I said, the direction of travel, and we heard Gary Neville and a couple of other people after, I think it was after the City game, talking, I think it was Carragher just goading him or whatever, talking about why the ownership is relevant. I think it's relevant because, of course, the ownership of a team, of a club, isn't really necessarily going to affect how a team plays on the day necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. That's, I think we can all kind of get on board with that. But I think what it does is it ultimately, it informs the overall environment.
Yeah.
And so if you've got players that are able to perform and behave, more importantly, like they did against Newcastle at home, right? It's no disgrace to lose a game against Newcastle. They're a good team, you know, right? They made so many changes, and Man United's body language was so poor and their attitude was so bad that it makes you think, like, they must have some kind of idea of how they're being perceived by their fans and by the wider football community.
Dalot did that night.
Particularly at home. But I've seen that. I mean, I saw Dalot come on at Spurs and he did okay. Like, and Andy's always says that he keeps good players out of the Portugal team sometimes. So he's got capability. But how they can go into that environment at home against Newcastle, knowing how they're perceived, because they must know, and behave like that, that says to me, well, what they're actually able to do every day, the players, is act with impunity and they're not being stopped doing it. And that either comes from Ten Hag, or it comes from the director of football operations, whatever job title he's got, and the ownership. And you talk about the Sancho thing, another bit of evidence. Talk about Antony. Antony's another example of it. You know, comes in for a huge amount of money, understands a lot of pressure on him, and he shows flashes last season. I think this season he's had no goals, no assists, made no contribution whatsoever. And
Andy Cole said on Wednesday, playing with Antony would drive me mad.
Yeah, but he's still been, my point is, he's not being picked every game, but he's still playing.
Yeah.
Well, he's basically played, he's played most games since he's returned from Brazil.
I know he's got a lot of things hanging over him, which, you know, obviously we can't talk about on here, but, you know, it's just, there's a wider malaise. It's not that long ago, since the Mason Greenwood thing, which was massively botched. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It just shows, if you put all these circumstantial pieces of evidence together, what does it tell you? Massive. At best, it's just fuzzy thinking. No one's got any direction. At worst, it's just fucking negligence. It's overall negligence overseeing one of the biggest institutions in British football, and that's how you
world
link
football.
The, yeah, and that's how you link the ownership through to the team, because the whole thing is symptomatic of a wider problem.
And perhaps if the owners were there, I mean, again, what is this worth, and does it sort of always work out like this? But to have the owner come in and try and galvanise them, not necessarily in some sort of, you know, Braveheart type speech, but just to kind of be visible and go, right, I know there's things all over the place. You carry on doing what you're doing. We're going to solve it and whatnot, which I would imagine say, while, you know, while he was still at the club, someone like, you know, Chelsea had plenty of bits and pieces, not quite like this, but someone like Abramovich, you know, and we're you know, glad that he's no longer involved in English football, but an owner like him was very much behind the scenes, might do something like that, or at least a representative of the owner or something. But yeah, it is all over the place.
And now, can I just also add one more piece of evidence to this, kind of for the prosecution, if you like? And I would say that it also lends itself to the transfer policy. The transfer policy at United is just go and spend fucking loads of money on a really high profile player and chuck him in the mix. And I don't know how anyone thinks that's what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Man United are always going to pay a bit more for players because of the size of club they are and because of the way the media industry works around them. And so they're probably going to, there's probably a Man United premium. But when was the last time Man United bought a player that wasn't either, I mean, I suppose the only one you can really think of is probably Johnny Evans, a free transfer. they either loan players like Amrabat and Reguilon or whatever for, and I think with Amrabat, it's probably understand they're going to spend loads of money on the fucking guy. They just probably didn't get it done earlier. Or they go and buy like Højlund for 75 million or Mason Mount for 65 million or Jane. But no point do they go and just, you know, it doesn't seem like they've got any sort of policy or any kind of plan to go and pick out little bits of pieces that they need.
This is why I find it odd that, you know, in one sense you could say they have backed Ten Hag, you know, on Ajax, you know, they had a little bit more of a philosophy as you would expect. But on the other hand, like, are they making signings where he's kind of like, yeah, I mean, I was quite happy to have that player. Great, well, we're going to get in there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, like that thing of, I wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, and I think you guys are right. And I think what you're talking about there is actually when the conversation in the football kind of, you know, commentariat about whether Erik ten Hag has quote-unquote been backed or not, it's kind of a red herring. Mm. It doesn't matter because it's not, no one honestly thinks, no one worth their salt who knows about football thinks, the more money you spend on transfers, the more success you're going to have. That's just not how it is. Mm. There are sort of certain metrics where you can link it to player wages and to strategies and stuff like that. But there's no policy. There's no kind of strategy. It's just, oh, he's available. He said he wants to come. Obviously, as you said, Erik ten Hag's not going to say no. No manager's going to say no to having a really talented player. Mm. But is there any thought about how they mix together?
Well, one of their big signings, of course, Casemiro, picked up an injury on Wednesday, so he won't be playing, according to reports, in this game. So if that is true, and if it is the case, then João Pelinha will be going, thank you very much.
Yeah, and Marcus,
I will boss that midfield.
I think João Pelinha would have said that if Casemiro wasn't. Yeah.
So from the point of view, you're much closer to how Fulham have been playing, Marcus, than the rest of us. Are they going to see this game and the opportunity and go, we've got a real chance here?
What was pleasing about the second half of the Brighton game when Fulham came back and drew 1-1 is Fulham started to play a bit more on the front foot and started to press higher. And last season they did that so well that you saw it, you were there. I know it sounds stupid going back to the first game of last season, but I think Fulham surprised a few teams where they played in that Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And Craven Cottage became a place where Fulham would often play on the front foot and they would take the game to teams. We haven't seen that as much this season, partly because obviously teams will be aware of that, so they'll turn up and think, oh, okay, we know what they're going to do, so we'll you know, make adjustments and so on. And also, there are, you know, a couple of handfuls of teams better than Fulham in the league, lest we forget. But missing Mitrovic, and I'll go on about it, I think Fulham have been less confident of pressing high. Not that Mitrovic is good at the pressing, but having that focal point, and so getting up there. And I think, you know, they get up there and think, oh, the big man's not there, okay. So a few more sideways passes, all that kind of stuff. But again, it boded well against Brighton, it boded well against Ipswich. Ipswich are flying high in the Championship. Of course, Fulham are favourites for that game, but you go away there and they're playing really well.
They're a good
and
team,
to comfortably win 3-1, probably could have maybe one or two more.
On the Mitrovic thing, I think, I wouldn't say too much about the press, but what I would say is, I've seen Fulham a lot with and without Mitrovic. And what Mitrovic would do, it's not just his goals. He'd give him a chance to get up the pitch. He'd give him a breather.
Yeah.
He'd stick up
hold
there.
The drop play as well. Yeah. Just without the ball.
Exactly. And Vinicius and Jimenez.
Yeah.
They're just not, they've got different.
Vinicius
different
is probably the closest one to.
He's Mitrovic. Like a poor man's Mitrovic. Yeah, he's like a diet Mitrovic.
Yeah, I mean, and you've got Muniz as well, who got his goal, but I don't think he would start. So, look, you're right. Fulham should build on these sort of, it's only two results, but, you know, a little bit more positive stuff. Not that it's been terrible this season, of course, and go, right, this lot are struggling at the moment. Let's go and take it to them. So
I think the way that teams have been able to play through Manchester United this season, especially teams who haven't been overly confident, like Wolves at Old Trafford, where they probably should have won.
Yeah,
They definitely should have won.
You think Fulham should go into this and be like, we don't have to do.
Yeah.
As in, like, if we do what we're good at,
yeah,
we should be all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think
my feeling, the only kind of thing I would say, and Marcus, you may not like this much, but it doesn't look like Tim Ream's having the best season.
No.
And Calvin Bassey's not started very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both probably going to start centre-back, right? And then you talk about Polina, but Polina's only really going to be able to do what he can do in front of them if they can do their bit as well.
Mm.
And I think that to me, there's a part of it that just feels a bit tailor-made for Hoyland to batter them around and get a goal, you know?
Yeah, look, Manchester United, lest we forget, are going to be favourites for this game. Mm. You know, so we could chat away here. But if I mean, you make a fair point there. I don't know if that would be the centre-back partnership, but it could be, you know, injuries willing. But Fulham do have a little bit of pace on the break. If you know, if Willian's in the side, you know, Declan Reid, I do. The Fulham fans love that little chap. So anyway, we shall see, of course. We mentioned very, very briefly Ajax earlier, and we're going to mention them again because old Erik ten Hag, I mean, if you think things are bad at Manchester United, his former club Ajax, you know, it's just a trail of destruction.
Well, I think that's what he says. He says, if I live in Man United, what's going to happen?
Yes.
Yeah. I pray while Adelu.
I've got to stay.
I'm taking a router with me.
Well, reports emerged yesterday that the former Chelsea and Barcelona assistant, Henk ten Cate, forgive pronunciation, was approached by Ajax for the interim job. But he turned it down for good reason, because he's going to star in a police crime drama on TV instead.
You have to take those opportunities when they come, haven't you?
He's in football. That's safe. That's in the bag.
He's got that.
He's still going to get jobs.
Fall back on.
He's probably thinking, well, you know, Ajax will still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we might not get a second series.
Yeah.
I'll pop up then.
This is not going to improve that quickly.
It'll be easier to do when they're in the first division. Yeah. So
There you go.
I just want to improve the global awareness of police crime dramas.
There's not enough of them.
I've read a lot about it. It's really John Le Carre, and I think the world needs to see this.
It actually gets better than that, because he's currently the assistant manager of Suriname.
Mm.
So he's jacking that in.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
And there we are. Big Hank's going to be on the TV, everybody.
Nice.
Right. Also on TV will be Luton Town versus Liverpool Sunday at 4:30. Of course, Luton's hosted Spurs last time, and now they're hosting Liverpool. Welcome to the Premier League, Luton, Avish.
I am very worried for Luton, not because of...
Is it the little stadium?
It's the little stadium, Vish.
Well, not necessarily because of what could happen on the field, but there's every chance Darwin Nunez ends up chasing down his first start and barreling through someone's house. Is it the Kool-Aid guy?
Luton's pitch is someone's back garden, of course.
Yeah.
They're very kind. They just sort of let them play.
See the Athletic putting the boot on Luton as well this week.
Were they?
They did a list of the 20. They have ranked the 20 Premier League rounds,
right,
in order from best to worst.
they did a listicle article.
I know, right? Yeah,
right. Okay,
that's what you're paying for these days. But don't worry, I don't do any breaking news. And number 20 was Bournemouth. They got given the tin tack, and right. Luton was 19.
19.
Luton was 19. It's the last time they've just come back into the Premier League.
What was their argument?
It's a bunch of absolute boffins.
Poor old.
Let me guess.
Crunch some numbers.
Third bottom was Brentford or something.
I can't remember. Spurs.
I'm not now with the new stadium.
Spurs was number one.
Yeah, I thought you were Spurs number one.
Going back to Luton versus Liverpool.
Please.
It reminded me, I'm old enough, sadly, to remember that little period of a few years where Luton and Liverpool play each other quite a lot. In the cup.
I don't remember it myself.
I remember Xavi Alonso scored from his own half.
I remember it well. Xavi Alonso. I thought you were talking like early 90s, like 80s or something. Alonso.
I said 15 years ago, didn't I?
Did you really?
I think so. Maybe you weren't.
Was that the Steve McNulty era?
I think Mike Newell was manager of Luton.
Steve McNulty, they had a player.
The wire. Like,
oh, the big guy.
The big
guy. No, it's before that.
All right.
It's before that. They won 5-3 Liverpool at Kenilworth Road, and then they played them again a couple of years later, and they drew, and then Liverpool beat them in the replay. And I thought to myself, doesn't time fly when they're now playing them in the league? But then, as I said, it was 2006, 2008.
Just looking at Steve McNulty, it's lovely stuff.
Yeah, you don't see many of those anymore.
No.
So the other interesting about Steve McNulty, he's actually American, but he speaks with an English accent.
There you go.
I love it.
Good stuff.
He does look like something out of a Guy Ritchie film.
He does.
Yeah. Andros Townsend should be involved.
Oh, good.
Not in Guy Ritchie films, but in this game.
That's now a talking point on this show, is it?
It's nice to...
Well, why isn't it? We're talking about Luton versus Liverpool.
Luton might play a player that they have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he'd be on the bench, though. He's not going to start.
Will he?
Yeah, of course he will.
Why is that?
Because he's not good enough anymore.
Not good enough.
Great pundit, though.
No, he can't
he's
say.
Very, he's a very, he good, pundit.
Very good pundit. He's still a good player.
Mm. Great, get a big great
move.
Hairline.
Get a big move after this.
Get a big move.
What are you doing?
We've moved houses, he?
I'm biting back, yeah. is what I'm doing.
Fight the good fight.
Exactly.
Let
yeah.
me put it this way for you, right?
You put it that way.
Fulham are playing Man United this weekend. We talked about that.
We have talked about that.
Would you be happy if Andros Townsend started against Man United for Fulham?
Well, no, because it would be against the rules.
This is against the rules.
We can get a points deduction, you fool.
And we respect rules here. Yeah. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
I do not understand.
In some kind of weird sort of anti-Premier League sort of protest, you just feel as a player which is completely ineligible.
I think that's the future of football, freelance players.
This is the type of game where the aforementioned Darwin Nunes could have an absolute stinker.
Oh, yeah, he missed 14 chances.
Yeah, and Luton battle for a draw.
Including a penalty.
Can anybody see Luton getting anything out of this?
Absolutely fucking no way on earth.
Luke, you... that could be clipped or come Monday. Yeah. You...
The problem is he does get quite a lot of predictions right, and it upsets me more than it'll ever upset you, Marcus.
Well, I don't hate the man, Peter.
Marcus just doesn't acknowledge them. right, it's now time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your own accumulators this season with a 90-minute payout where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds, 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, each of us will choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an Acca of four match odds, 90 bets. Now, before we get into it, this is the current record of each of the presenters and their selection. So, Marcus, you've got 8 out of 10.
Impressive.
Very good. It's the best record. Pete, you've got 2 out of 6. It's what people would expect.
No, it's better than, I think, what people
Paul Kitson-esque.
I've got 4 out of 7.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And Vish has got 4 out of 6. Now, Vish, that's a very good record on paper, 66.6% success. However, we have noticed, or I've noticed, that the teams you
pick...
I mean,
win?
three of the wins have been against. It's been you've backed Man City against Leatherhead Reserves,
brave
Gosport Vikings under 10, and the cast of Last of the Summer Wine. So you need to step up. So it'll be interesting to see who you've backed this time around. Who have you gone for, Vish?
I've gone for Manchester City.
Have you by chance chosen a team to beat the statistically the worst Premier League team in history?
Away from home, yes.
San Marino are not playing this week.
I've gone for Wolves to beat Sheffield United.
Oh, brave. Brave boy.
Brave boy.
Yeah. Because Sheffield United... Sorry, because Wolves beat Man City a few games ago.
Yeah. Oh, it's a brave one, that.
Very brave.
As soon as producer Finn asked him for the selection, you just Vish's typing.
Yep.
Goodbye, England's Rolls. That's you, Vish. Marcus.
I didn't do it.
Marcus.
Palace to win against Burnley.
Away from home.
Away from home.
We've got 2 away wins so far. Peter.
I think this is going to be a big old elastoplast on Erik ten Hag's Manchester United career. Fulham versus Man United. Man United to win.
I can see that.
Three away wins to start with. And I'll finish up by saying I've gone for Newcastle to beat Arsenal.
Oh, big one.
That's brave, I would say.
That's a tough one to call.
So in summary, Palace to win, Man United to win, Wolves to win, Newcastle to win. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £238.25. And if we win, and when we win, damn it, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, and there's been a few this season, of course, because of the extended injury time, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. There's probably be about a minimum of 15 in the Newcastle game, minutes that is. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds, 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama will not be affected, and that's the same for our Ramble Acca too. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply, 18 plus only, and for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
It's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
What?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Marcus Speller, stop swearing at Vish, because that is cruel.
Look what Vish has written on his paper at me.
Nothing yet.
What did he write?
Go on, hold it up. No, other side, please.
Other side, turn it over. I can't really. Oh, it's a bad word.
You're all very, very fortunate. I'm even agreeing to fucking play this again after last time.
Come on.
You must have been disappointed on my behalf, Mark.
Look, Pete means business. He's pulled out his pocket square.
I pulled out my pocket square. Right, it is a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, you're going to be hearing Gary Neville's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. Official game archivist, Jimmy to the B. If Marcus wins today, he will have held the lineal title longer than everyone else combined this season, 6 weeks. So, let's get started.
The treatment I get, though.
What?
Last time, I got completely fucked.
You lost over it.
I think.
Fire away. Let's kick off with round number one. Teams that have beaten Pep Guardiola's Man City in the Premier League since he took over in 2016. There've only been 15 teams.
Fuck you, that's amazing. What's that? Stat.
Teams that have beaten
in the Premier League only.
In the Premier League only since he took over in 2016. Let's kick off with you.
Manchester United.
Manchester United, 5 times.
Liverpool.
Liverpool, 4 times.
Arsenal have done it.
Arsenal have done it once.
Spurs.
Spurs have done it 6 times.
Wow.
That's impressive, isn't it?
Really good,
isn't
it?
Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Wolves have done it 3 times, yep.
I think that Newcastle.
They certainly have once.
We
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Mish.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Southampton?
We got there just.
Are we counting that?
Yeah, it was in time.
All right, fair dues. Yes, Southampton have done it once, correct.
Well done, Mish.
Well played.
Marcus.
Not easy under that pressure.
Yeah, it's good.
Crystal Palace.
Twice, correct.
I've got a feeling that tonight's gonna be. I'm gonna have a, take a little bit of a flyer here.
Go on.
I think Burnley might have done it.
Ooh.
Not on the dice.
Not one of the bees.
How many teams do we have left?
I don't know because nobody's been crossing them out. I'm not going to try and count. There were 15 when we started. That says probably 5 left.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline
Liverpool.
Has been written.
Why? Sorry, because he's Ollie Shaw, isn't it? It's Ollie at Liverpool, unfortunately. So there you go.
Can I have another one?
Marcus.
Leicester City.
Leicester City. 3 times. Luke had that one by the sounds of things.
No, I didn't, but I know Marcus's face when he's got it.
Yeah.
Well, I did smile and wink at you.
Very infuriating.
His nipples start to leak.
It's like the equivalent. Yeah, and it's also like the equivalent. Do you know what starts playing in my head? The Bayern Munich can.
Who else, Sir Peter?
Who have you got, Lukey Moore?
No, he's out. He's out.
Oh, he's out, isn't he? Sorry.
Can you give me the point?
Yeah, I think I can.
Thank you.
Well done. Okay. You could have had, I'll just go through the list. Arsenal, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, Brentford. Crystal Palace, Everton, Leeds, Leicester, Liverpool, Manchester United, Newcastle, Norwich, Southampton, Spurs and Wolves. Well done. Guys, I'm really proud of you all.
Yeah.
And well done, Marcus, for winning that round.
Whatever I do, I never get a point.
I didn't go for Chelsea. But
I should have, yeah.
Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, I should have.
Chelsea, all right, next round, kicking off with you, Marcus Speller.
Oh.
Forbes's top 20. God. Oh, God, Forbes. Forbes's most top 20 most valuable football teams in 2023. Forbes's top 20 most valuable football teams
worldwide.
For 2023. Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Baby. Mr. Worldwide, baby.
Real Madrid. And don't tell me that's wrong.
A safe bet.
A safe bet. But they're not that high on the list. They're 18th.
Blimey!
Yeah.
Blimey O'Reilly!
It's not in order of finance. it's in alphabetical. They're very high. I think they might be top.
There's a clue. There's a clue.
So, <yeah. laughs>
Lovely stuff. All right, Luke.
I'll go with Manchester United.
Manchester United. £6 billion.
Manchester City.
Manchester City. £4.99 billion.
Chelsea.
Oh, it's a cheeky 3.1.
Presumably Liverpool got to be in there.
Liverpool in there, £5.29 billion.
Arsenal.
£2.26 billion.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Oh, no, they're nothing, actually.
It's the value of the brand.
They're nothing.
So it's not real money.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of that.
Otherwise, that would be better for them, wouldn't it?
£5.51 billion, Marcus. Ooh. Well done.
I'm going to have to suggest that Bayern Munich are in there.
Yeah, surely.
They're in there. £4.86 billion.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Tottenham Hotspur are in there.
Yeah.
Sneaking in with 2.8. I like this one.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good.
It is good. Atletico Madrid.
Ooh.
1.54 billion, correct.
Well done.
Get in there.
So I had two flyers, and that was one of them. The other one I had was Juventus.
Yeah, I had them.
They are in there at 2.16.
Yeah, Juve are in there.
Juve are in there.
Come on, bruv.
The old lady. The rich old lady. In fineries.
The rich old lady.
Yeah.
PSG.
Yeah, surely.
4.21.
Ooh.
Uwe Rosler's teams. There's a strange one in here.
There's a strange one under there.
Yeah.
There's a strange one.
There's an egg under there.
AC Milan. I'm not confident with that.
Oh, 1.4.
There you go.
1.4.
Get the Mercenary in there.
Oh, now it's getting tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Getting tough now, baby.
It is, baby. There's a couple of really interesting ones in. I like it.
I'm gonna go for Borussia Dortmund.
Do you know what? I thought about them. I did think that. But they hate money.
Yes!
1.93 billion.
Not that much, though. Not that much.
We must be running that and that teams.
What do we have so far?
I've never been in a round this long. I'm still alive in the round.
It's a live round exercise.
It's Torres! Oh!
Into Milan?
Into my land, my lord.
That was the one I had.
1.03.
I've got nothing written down.
So we're all even now because you started.
I did start.
You started it.
We're on fumes now. I've got nothing written down either.
Most valuable brand names, you say.
Give him the button.
Nah, don't
it's
do that.
Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline.
Roma. I'm not confident with that at all.
I wouldn't be either.
What year was it? 2023?
2023.
I'm gonna stick it out here.
I'm gonna
stick this out here.
There's no way Roma were going to be in there.
Do you know what? I might for Aston Villa.
I'd be surprised.
You'll be surprised when you see a lot of the other ones.
Fish, you get one right.
You give it no more clues. West Ham?
1.8.
Oh, Vish.
Well done, Vish.
Fair play.
There are some stonkers on this
London
list.
Stadium.
Yeah.
AC Milan, Arsenal, Atlanta United FC, Atletico, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Crystal Palace.
Whoa.
806 yes. million.
For Nora.
Dortmund, Inter Milan, Juve, LA Galaxy, LAFC, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, PSG, Real Madrid, Spurs and West Ham.
Wow.
Crystal Palace in there.
I think we did pretty well then.
Yeah, I think you did really well, to be honest. All right, Lukey.
Yeah, for me, the end result is the same.
Force the tiebreaker.
Here we go.
Yeah, come on.
Force it. Come on. Men's players who have finished in the top three for the Copa Trophy, which is presented to the best player under 21 at the Ballon d'Or ceremony. Men's players who have finished in the top three for the Copa Trophy. So it's not just the winner.
Yeah.
It's top three.
Jude Bellingham.
Yep. Well played, sir. Well played.
Gavi.
Ooh. He was the last year's winner, correct?
That's flex for flex sake.
Yeah, that is lovely stuff.
Right. So.
Fucking Gary Neville the cunt.
Football players, you say.
Football players, you say.
Gary Neville the cunt.
Martin Odegaard.
Oh, yes!
I thought it was early on. Throwing yourself out
there.
Yes.
I'll go for.
I can't believe I want Vish to win this.
I'll go for. Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland.
What am I doing?
What?
Oh, here we go. Big Vish for the chance.
I mean, the whole fucking trophy's a joke.
Me supporting Vish will be like any of us supporting Argentina. Really want them to win, and when they do,
I can hear somebody outside with a pepper scoop. Is that true? I mean, it feels like it's not true.
I'll be fucking stiffed again, probably.
You're giving Vish extra time, yeah?
Yeah.
Pedri.
Oh, well done, Vish.
There it is. Well played, sir.
Beautiful. Christian Pulisic. Eduardo Camavinga. Gavi. Sancho. Remember him? Musiala. Joao Felix. Jude Bellingham got in there twice. Justin Kluivert. He's back in. He's back
in
on
there.
Top. Scoring goals. Yeah, exactly. Kylian Mbappe, whatever happened to him. De Ligt and Pedri. So
who'd
congratulations,
you guess?
Kylian Mbappe, but they said it was wrong.
Now, who'd you guess?
Martin Odegaard.
That's poor, isn't it?
That's not that poor.
I thought it was a good answer.
That's not that poor. I mean, look, it was poor because it was wrong.
Yeah.
There we are. Well done, Vish.
There was a binary choice. Was it poor or was it not? It was poor. It was poor.
Can only be one or the other. Haaland not in there.
I know.
The whole trophy's a joke if Haaland's not in there.
Oi. You lost. Again. Okay, I lost as well. I've got a lot of previous victories. Of course, you know.
You seem quite pleased for someone who's lost their lineal title.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fatal three-way.
I've lost Cummings.
But you don't understand. I get to win it back soon. You know. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show.
Cambridge Analytica. This
sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Speaking of keys, they're in the lock. Everybody, the door's
open. Then.
If you find Peter Reid. Although that is Monday. Well, maybe I'll leave the gate open a little bit. If you can find Rido, you got Monday off as well.
If you can get a picture of Rido, send it, please. Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I think, is it a coincidence that
the
minister of this game, producer Finn, is also massive in the Vote Leave movement?
I said, thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's how you met him. Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell, everyone.
Thank you for 2 cents, Raja.
Thank you.
And thank you, Peter Reid. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.